Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
I want to look at a word that the Lord has just been really enriching in my heart for the last probably 3 or 4 weeks. Mark chapter 12. And verse 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" You know, I love, again, how Jesus just, he could take something as difficult as the law and break it down into, you know what really matters, guys? These two things. And you'll find that if you love God and if you love people, that all of the rest of the law, all the, like there's estimated there's like 613 laws. How many are glad that he reduced it a little bit? How many know that what he reduced it to cannot be done by yourself? How many know that it's impossible to love God the way that Jesus is talking here? It's impossible to love people the way that Jesus is talking here. So it could just as well have been the 613 laws. And yet, I don't know about you, but I like focusing on one or two things more than 613. It just kind of, for me, becomes a little bit more like, okay, now I know what to ask help for. And so as Jesus is just breaking it down and saying, you know what? You've always looked in the past that relationship with God has been about commandments, about keeping commandments. It's almost like you're responding to a demanding God. And Jesus is just shifting us, shifting our mindsets. And what I believe this is this is an invitation. It's not a demand. God is not, you're saying, you're going to love me this way, and you're going to love people. And if you don't, you're in big trouble. You know, and he's saying, you know what? You have an invitation into perfect love. You have an invitation into the kind of love that changes lives, that changes the world. I'm giving you an invitation to love me with everything that you are. And in turn, that's how I'm going to love you. See, what Jesus is saying here is that we love God. You are invited to love God with everything you are, body, soul, and spirit. You know, and sometimes we emphasize the thing about, well, I love God with my spirit, and that's really the cool place to do it. But I want to suggest to you that Jesus is saying, you know what, there's more. And that you can love me physically. I'm inviting you to love me physically. You're created in the image of God. You're created body, soul, and spirit. And I could go into a teaching about what that looks like in the image of God, and there are bits and pieces of that. But your body, physically, there's an element of God in how you're created physically. And we can love God physically. We can love him with our hands raised. We can love him with dancing. Sometimes I love him sleeping in my chair. You know, but the thing it is that you not only love him when you have an invitation to love God in a particular way, there's the reciprocal love in that way. That when Luke physically plays his guitar and worships him and loves him with his guitar, that there is a return, there's a reciprocal love of God on Luke physically. See, God doesn't just love you if you've got it all right. God doesn't just love you if you're worshiping from your spirit. He loves you physically. He created you physically. And we sometimes want to downplay the fact that we can love God physically. Dwayne and Joni have a gift on them. It's called the gift of helps. And they serve with the gift of helps. They serve by bringing coats. She's just collecting coats. You know, she's collecting coats now. What did you say? You bought out Walmart the other day? It was Walmart, yeah. Because they had coats on sale for a buck? $1. And so she's serving. She's loving God by buying coats with a vision that when it gets cold, you know, a lot of people aren't thinking about next winter right now. How many appreciate somebody who's thinking about next winter right now? Amen. And so she's loving God by buying up coats, by physically doing something. Dwayne and everything, you can't even start to mention all the things that Dwayne does around here. But there's a gift, and that's not a gift. It's not a secondary gift. It's not an inferior gift. The gift of helps, you know, nothing would happen around here if people weren't active with the gift of helps. And it doesn't look spiritual. I want to tell you, it's just as spiritual as me being up here preaching. And there's this aspect where we can say that we love God. Oh, God, I love you. Oh, God, I love you. And yet we see our brother in need and we say, oh, God, I love you. Oh, God. And yeah, I love you, God. You know, how many know that that's pretty shallow and it's pretty hollow? And there's a point where you use your physical body, you use your vocal cords, you use your hands, you use your back at times to love God. And then God loves you physically. Now, I don't live for physical manifestations, but I'll tell you what, God loves me when he heals my back. God is loving me physical when he heals my knee. And God is concerned for your physical well-being. See, it's not just a matter of come and love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wants to love you physically. And we have an invitation to enter into this love relationship where it's a give and a take, that he loves every part of you. Love God with all your strength or with your physical body. With all your soul, the soul's been defined as your mind, your will, and your emotions. I want to suggest to you that it's intellect, it's your reasoning ability, it's taking all the experiences of the past and wrapping them together and then coming to a decision with that and exercising your will. And see, I don't know about you, I've sat under teachings in the past where I've been told, well, you can't live by emotions, Brother Dave. Or, you know, when you come into a meeting, you just got to chop your head off and set it on a shelf so you can receive with your heart. And I want to suggest to you that that's just not the way God has created me. He created humankind. He looked on Adam. He says, this is good. And then he created Eve and he said, she's good. And Adam wholeheartedly agreed, you know. It's like, yeah, whoa, man, you know. I mean, so man is created good. And how God created you, he created you intentionally like that. And I no longer, you know what? People who have a great intellect, can I just say, can I repent on behalf of the body of Christ? Because we have criticized people who think. In fact, the church for many, many years kept people in subjection by not allowing them to think. Now, obviously, intellect that is taking its marching orders from the carnal man, yeah, it's messed up. But so is everything else when it takes its marching orders from the carnal man. But somebody with a great intellect that takes its marching orders and takes its direction, it takes its who they are from the spirit man, I tell you, a great intellect is phenomenal. And I just want to bless you. If you're gifted with a great intellect, can I just encourage you to pursue that gift? Can I encourage you to love God with that gift? I've got a son that is brilliant. I mean, I look at him and I sometimes I say, well, I don't know where he came up with that. Must have been from his mom. But, and how many know that the intellect, because it's been dishonored by the body of Christ,
So many times people with a great intellect have not found a place in the church. I remember the Lord gave me a word for my son one time. He said, God is going to encounter you intellectually. There would have been a time I'd have said, that's impossible. My, you know, my theology, my doctrine tells me, well, I just found out that my doctrine, my theology was a tradition of man. And it wasn't from the heart of God who created somebody with a tremendous gift that needs to be honored. Oh, Brother Dave, you know, you can't serve God, you can't love God emotionally. Well, why not? If God created me emotionally, then I can love God with my emotions. I can love Him with laughing. I can love Him with weeping. I can love Him with joy. I can even love God with my sorrows. And not only that, He loves me back that way. How many know that God has emotions? He has joy. There's times our Holy Spirit is grieved. God is love. And how many know that emotions, I mean, love and emotions just kind of go hand in hand, you know? I love you. Let's see. It's the next day. I got to do this 3 times a day. I love you. How many think that she's convinced that I love her? She's eating it up, brother. Yeah, and she's spitting it out in little chunks, too. So, you know, but isn't that, that's preposterous. And yet we think that we're supposed to love God with a stoicism. Don't be happy in church. I grew up in a church where you're supposed to be really reverent. And you're supposed to be very, very respectful and quiet. And I'm all about reverence and respect. I am. Sometimes. But sometimes reverence and respect is laughing when God's laughing. It's dancing when God's dancing. You know, that to me is reverence. I don't know. You know, my dictionary defines it different than the other dictionary. So I'll live with my dictionary. But we had to just be in church, and we had to be really good. Really good. And I happened to go to a church where we went to church before the school. And so I was always with a bunch of friends in church. And, you know, you're kneeling during the most sacred part of the service. And your buddy would pass gas. You ever tried keeping a straight face when your buddy is over there? And the more you try to hold it in, the worse it gets. It looks like a few of you have been there and experienced that. Oh, God, you know, we love God with our emotions. We love Him with our intellect. He loves us back. I think that He gets thrilled when we get emotional. I think He gets thrilled when all of a sudden He just touches our extreme intellect, or our intellect, maybe it's not as extreme, but He touches us and all of a sudden we're smarter than we thought we were. And we figure things out that we didn't figure out. You know, don't you love that? And God is just loving you. Well, Brother D, but I just love God. You know, those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. You know, and I know what that means, and I'm all for that. Jesus said it. But I tell you what, God has created us in His image. And we love God with everything we are. And then He loves us back the same way. I think God really enjoys our decision-making process. Well, I think I'm going to go ride my motorcycle today. But maybe I shouldn't, because maybe I've got some other things to do. But then again, I feel such freedom when I'm on my motorcycle. I mean, God is just all over my motorcycle when I ride my motorcycle. But let's see, I do have some responsibilities. Grass has to be cut. And I cut my motorcycle. I imagine God is just up there, you know, just saying, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? I sure hope he takes the motorcycle choice, you know. I sure hope he gets on that thing and just goes riding and convinces his wife that that's all right and that the grass will get cut later, you know. But ever thought of it? You know, the thing that I think ties and binds Christians up more than anything is this indecision. It's just a fear of making the wrong decision. And there's something about loving God with your will. If you have been encountered by the love of God and you love God out of your will, all of a sudden decision-making isn't that difficult because it's motivated by something different than selfishness and the carnal man, carnal reasoning. So you like that? I'm on a roll. Come on up. No, we like this. We like this. You've got a burning?
Yeah.
Go for it. I know where I'm at. I can pick up. They're sitting on the edge of their seats. Go ahead.
I just want to go, well...
For those of you that don't know, this is Ben.
Yeah, my name's Ben, Kristen. We're kind of new here. This is like
they're very new
time.
Here. This is all new to you, here. Isn't it?
Yeah, I've been encountered heavily by God here. And
thank you, Jesus. Yeah, go for it.
This is a great atmosphere for the Holy Spirit.
I can try messing you up a little more if you want me to.
Oh, I'm already messed up.
Go ahead, release what's on your heart.
My wife and I have been meeting with a group, and it's called Love and Respect. We started doing this, and we did it a few years ago, and we're doing it again as a small group. And I have been continually just irritated in this group because we're talking about the man is supposed to love his wife, and the wife is supposed to respect her husband. And this is good. God designed it this way. But I've been really mad because I keep hearing the women saying, well, you have to love us first and then we'll respect you. And I've been just getting really mad, and I thought it was holy anger that was coming up inside of me. And when we went through Galatians 12:28 earlier, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength, and the second, love your neighbor as yourselves. It occurred to me, we can love him because he loved us first.
Yeah.
We can only love him because he loved us first. So then I remember Ephesians, what is it? It's 6, no, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He loved us first. And it just occurred to me, I thought I had this holy anger in this group, and I am supposed to love my wife before she respects me. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Be delivered of holy anger, would you? Oh, that's good stuff. You know, I now you preach the rest of my message. I don't know what I'm going to say. there's a risk of letting people get up and just throw a bomb on everything you're doing. No, that's really good. However, I would add to that love and respect work together, that you almost have to do it simultaneously. Now, if she isn't respecting me, that doesn't let me off the hook where I don't have to love her. And if I'm not loving her, that doesn't let her off the hook that she has to respect me. So it all works together. But yeah, and it is this incredible thing where God wants to love us and encounter us in every way. And God wants to love us spiritually. He wants to love us in the deepest part of who we are. I was a few weeks ago, I was praying in the sanctuary, and the Lord spoke two words to my heart. He spoke the word commingle and seed. And, you know, when you hear that, you don't know if it's, I wish I was spiritual enough to just tell you, I knew it was God. But I didn't. I just heard it, and I thought, whoa, commingle and see. That's weird. That's really strange. What have I been thinking lately that I, you know, come up with commingle and seed? Yet as I began to meditate on those words, and commingling really means coming together, being so united together that there's no difference. And I started to think of commingling and this whole thing of loving God from my spirit and being loved by God in my spirit. And there's a place where we can intentionally ask Holy Spirit to commingle with us in our spirit. It's that place of intimacy, this privilege that we have to come into. And this is an invitation. This is astonishing that the very most sensitive part of who we are is our spirit man. It's the most mysterious part of who we are. It's the deepest part of who we are. But you know, corresponding to that, Holy Spirit is also the most mysterious part of the Godhead, isn't it? And Holy Spirit is also the most, you know, he's mysterious and intimate and sensitive. When Holy Spirit came and sat like a dove on Jesus, a dove is known for sensitivity, gentleness. And if you look in how Jesus described Holy Spirit, absolute power, yes, but also words like comforter, teacher. Holy Spirit, I believe, is the most sensitive part of God. Jesus was talking one time, and people were accusing him of casting out demons by the prince of demons, by Beelzebub. And Jesus says, nah, that's not it, you guys. A house divided cannot stand. The devil's not going to cast out the devil. He goes on to say something that I've always wondered about. He says, you know what? You can blaspheme and you can say things against the Son of God. But don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven in this life or in the life to come. I thought, that's harsh. And you know, I'm not going to define what blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is. I don't know that I know. I just know that I don't want to blaspheme Holy Spirit. My point is, why can you say things against the Son of God, Jesus, who bled and died and was crucified and sacrificed and loved and demonstrated the Father's heart for, you know, his life? And yet he stands up and he says, but don't blaspheme Holy Spirit. Jesus understands that Holy Spirit is the most sensitive, the most intimate part of God. See, when Pentecost came, we tend to think of the tongues of fire, and we tend to think of people running out into the streets, and we tend to think of people talking in tongues and talking in languages that they didn't know, and the excitement of it all. And I tell you, when Holy Spirit comes on human being, it's amazing. I mean, how many have been in revival meetings where you've just seen weird stuff? Just weird stuff. I've seen that. And there's always the question, well, is that God or is that the flesh? Is that God or is that the flesh? It's both. It's God encountering flesh. And sometimes it's flesh responding, but I don't really care. I'm past the point of trying to judge that stuff. Jesus, his theology on that is let the weeds grow with the tares. He just let it all go together. How many know that in this house this morning, there were some of you that were worshiping and you were so spiritual and you're just loving God with all your heart? How many know there was probably some here that were saying, I don't feel like worshiping. I've had a lousy day. Oh, I don't really know those songs. I don't feel like worshiping. Therefore, I'm not going to worship. And there's flesh mixed in with spirit everywhere we go, isn't there? You know, I'm past the point of trying to call out flesh in people. How many know it's easy to call out the crap? I want to call out the gold in people. So Holy Spirit encountering us in spirit, commingling with Holy Spirit in intimacy, this commingling, this coming together, is where there's intimacy. And the Lord spoke to my heart and started to show me how I can welcome and purposefully commingle in my spirit, man, with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Let's not forget the holy part of that. What does that say about my spirit? I've been redeemed. I am holy. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, my spirit and Holy Spirit can't commingle. But in that commingling, in that time of coming together, seed is released. Literally, the sperm of God is released. That might be too graphic. But can I just say that I, as a guy, I can become pregnant with the ideas of God? I can become pregnant with the life of God? I can become pregnant with the Spirit of God? Guys, get over it. But that's what seed is about. It was recognized in Mary. That which is in you is by the Holy Spirit, the literal sperm of God. It's a mystery. I don't say I got this all together. But it's a mystery that that which was in Mary, the seed that was planted in Mary, was by the Holy Spirit. And so we have this invitation to commingle, to love God with our spirits, to be loved in our spirits, to have give and take in the spiritual, in the most intimate, the deepest part of who we are. We have this opportunity with God, this invitation with God. But here's the deal. When we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, the second commandment then becomes natural. All of a sudden, I can love my wife physically. I can love her physical body. And I'm not just talking about sex. I'm not talking about just jumping in the sack. I'm talking about I can love her physically. I can serve her physically because I've had this download of love of God. When I've loved him with all that I am and he loves me back with all that I am, all of a sudden there's an overflow and now I love people. And I love people physically. I even love my wife emotionally. You know, if you're not encountered with the love of God, how many know that people's emotions can get on your nerves? But there's a grace in the love of God all of a sudden now to start loving my wife in the same way that I've been loved by God. And I can love intellect. I can love people intellectually. People that before, you know, they'd go off into equations. Well, maybe they aren't speaking equations, but they might as well be, for what I understand. And all of a sudden, I can start loving people intellectually. I can carry on intellectual conversations with people and love them through that. See, we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all of our strength, with the complete being of who we are. And that's just the entrance into a love relationship, a give and take that flows back and forth between me and Daddy. Between me and my lover. The overflow of that is how I love you. The overflow of that is how I can love my wife. The overflow of that is how we can encounter people with the love of God. The overflow of that is we've all of a sudden gone from narrowing down loving God to being just, well, we just love with our spirit, man. You know, kill everything else. To where we bring it to life. When you're alive emotionally, you're never more alive than when God has touched you emotionally. When God has touched you intellectually invalidated your intellect. When God has touched you and blessed you and helped you to serve him with your will. I know there's a danger in all this, the way I'm talking, but again, I want to emphasize that I'm not talking about the carnal man. See, the carnal man, when it rules my emotions, it's death. When the carnal man rules my intellect, it's death. When the carnal man rules me physically, it's death. But see, you're not carnal. You are not carnal. You have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. Yet not you, but Christ lives in you. The life that you now live in the flesh, you live by faith, by believing, by having a heart that is open to and believing in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. You have been crucified with Christ. And now you have opportunity in this invitation to love God with everything you are. And it's no longer a demanding God saying, you got to love me like this or else you're toast. It's an invitation into a give and take and a flow with a God who is absolute perfect love, with a God who is love intimately, genuinely, without hesitation, without reserve, without hidden motives. See, when we encounter that kind of love and we start to love people with that kind of love, that's when people are going to notice that we've been with Jesus. That's when people are going to notice and hunger for something in our lives that's different. The very foundation of everything you are has got to be in this encounter with a loving God. You want to be the greatest evangelist on the planet? Go for it. It's got to be the love of Christ that compels you. It's got to be a revelation of this love who loves you the way he's created you. And he's created each of you individually and uniquely. And when I can start to love Bob the way God has created Bob, something changes in me. And it frees Bob to be who he is. I love Bob worshiping with the flags up here. I love him demonstrating to our kids that this is how you're free. Or this is how Bob is free. I might not be quite that free. But Bob is free. And Bob is loving God physically with flags. I couldn't do that if I tried. You see him spin around. I do that twice, and I'm dizzy, and I'm on my, you know, I'm out of it. Jesus made a promise. I better read it. John chapter 15. And verse 9. You know, I'm very aware that in this house, probably for the last couple of months, God just keeps bringing up this thing of love. God, you know, and I'd like to teach a bunch of other stuff, but I haven't been able to get away from this subject of love because I believe there's a deeper revelation. There's a deeper impartation. There's a deeper reality of the love of God that he wants us to get. I think it'd be a tragedy just to move on to other things for the sake of not being boring or not repeating or, you know, those things. Because we have got to come to a place where we are absolutely secure in the love of God. In that love, there's discipline. How many know that there's discipline in love? If I don't discipline my child, then I really don't love them. And so there is what some people would say is the downside to the love of God, but it's not the downside. That's the blessing, to know that my God loves me enough to give me parameters, to teach me what's safe for my life and what's not safe. You know, the grace message that we preach here, can I encourage you, as strong as I am on grace, I know, too, that you can never misunderstand that what we're saying is God doesn't care about your sin. God doesn't care about my sin. God doesn't care about how you treat one another. God does care about you loving your wife first. And God cares about you loving your husband or respecting your husband first. He does care about those things. I've often said the tragedy of divorce isn't when people sign on the dotted line and say, I don't. The tragedy of divorce is the years of conflict and hatred and turmoil that's been allowed to poison us in the meantime. I'm praying healing over marriages this morning. I'm speaking healing over intimate relationships this morning. I'm speaking healing over fathers and sons, daughters and mothers, children and parents. I'm speaking healing over husbands and wives this morning. I'm releasing an intimacy this morning. See, when I love my wife with my heart, soul, mind, and strength, there's transparency. In my office, I have a white sheet of paper. And actually, what kicked this off, I was doing some marriage counseling, and somebody said, can you explain to us the mystical union of one flesh, husband and wife? Have you ever tried explaining that? It's weird. Anyways, what I came up with was that, you know, the three circles, body, soul, spirit. Everybody's seen that? We're body, soul, and spirit. And I came up with a transparency that had body, soul, and spirit on it. And when you try to meld the two, when you try to bring the two together, the white paper, transparency, when you try to bring them together, a lot of people touch basis on the body part. We're physically connected to each other. The next step is when you love body and soul, and there's a little bit more of an overlap. The tragedy is so many times that's all the deeper that a lot of marriages go. I know how she thinks. I know her emotions. I know how to push his buttons. And we connect with each other, body and soul. But only when you connect body, soul, and spirit with your spouse is there a complete overlapping where that transparency, where the transparent, my transparency absolutely lines up with what's on the white sheet of paper. Can I encourage you, husbands and wives, that deep intimacy, that place of love, that place of relationship, that place of transparency is phenomenal. And that's the high call of God in Christ Jesus in the way that we love our wives, the way we love our husbands. There is no fear in the perfect love of God. Because perfect love casts out fear. And when I can love my wife with the love that God has placed in me, when I can love with perfect love, all of a sudden I don't fear transparency. I went for many years of my life fearing transparency, not allowing people into the intimacy of my heart, my spirit man. This is an amazing invitation to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love one another in the same way. John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. How many want the joy of Jesus? Yeah. Wait a minute. Let's have a mindset shift here. Hollywood didn't get it right. The pictures didn't get it right. The Bible has it right. That when people came back and said, I saw Satan, or Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as lightning, he jumped up and down, pirouetted, and went hooray and gave a yell. That's what that scripture means. We serve a happy Jesus. He said, the scripture says that he was anointed with joy above all his fellows. Jesus was the happiest guy on the face of the planet. And things haven't changed. He's not in heaven wringing his hands over the fact that we're having some financial difficulties in the United States. There are still people being saved every day. It says that all the angels are rejoicing. when one sinner comes to repentance. So it's crazy to think that all of heaven's rejoicing and God's on his throne being PO'd at the United States. Think about it. Use your sanctified imagination and see God as a happy Father. You know, and yes, he can be absolute joyful over me, and yet he can be walking through grief with my wife. I don't know. God is pretty amazing. He's God. You're created in his image, by the way. My joy. These things I'm speaking to you. See, when I'm speaking about this love, I know that for some of it, it's threatening us. It's threatening our privacy. It's threatening our bubble. It's threatening our space. It's threatening status quo of love that we've sat in church and talked about love and haven't done it. Sorry to be a little harsh. But I'm speaking these things so that the joy of Jesus can remain in you. This kind of love, this kind of interaction with love, with the lover of all lovers, is so that you can be joyful. How many of you? where do I want to go with this? You've had kids, or you've been a kid, okay? And you remember that first love. I think I'm safe there. You've been a kid or you've had kids, you know? And maybe not all of them have come to this place where they first start dating. And the giddiness, the joy. It's like you want to slap. I'm not that happy. You quit being that happy, you know? How many know that there's Christians and the world wants to slap you when you're really happy? Because they don't understand. They don't understand that we love God with our emotions. They don't understand that we love God with all that we are. They don't understand the amazingness of God pouring back into me his love. So slap me all you want. I'm still going to be happy. I'm still going to walk in joy. These things I'm speaking to you so that the joy of Jesus would remain in you. And so that your joy can be full. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hands are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16, whatever it is, 11 or something like that. Oh, come on. This isn't a miserable existence. Let's go to the miserable existence club today. Let's go to the sober house today. Oh, I tell you, can you just allow yourself to be loved by God? Every fiber of your being? Ben, you're right. The man is usually the initiator of love. Our God has initiated love with you. He has initiated love with his bride. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of feeling like a giddy little teenager. I'm preaching myself really happy here.
Come on.
What's your expectation in love? What does love look like to you? Can you, in your sanctified imagination, just let yourself dream as big as you can what God's love looks like to you? This is my commandment, that you have love for one another as I have loved you. I can't love you until I've been loved. You can't love others until you know that you're loved. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. In the same way that the Father loved Jesus, in the same way that he looked down on Jesus and said, "This is my beloved Son. I'm pleased in him. Your sons and daughters that God is proclaiming, these are my beloved sons and daughters who are righteous because of faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm pleased in you. Oh, I'm my daddy's son. I'm pleasing in his sight. He's pleased the way I am emotionally. He loves mixing it up with me when I'm trying to make my decisions. He loves it when I'm trying to discover him with my intellect. When I'm looking at the stars and the universes and everything that he's put on display, and you wonder, how in the world did he ever do that? How did he cause the mountains and the land to appear dry land when the whole face was covered with the deep? How did he make the sun to be just that perfect distance away and then set this planet spinning so that it gets warm on all sides? Doesn't get overbaked on the one side and cool on the other side. I don't know if you've ever thought of that. How did he put the moon out there in just the perfect place so that everything stays in sync? Let's see, think. Evolution? I don't think so. Intellect tells me evolution is impossible. Intellect tells me that it couldn't have happened, that there's a creator. Let's stand together. There's a question this morning. I'm just feeling prompted this morning. I feel the heart of God saying to you, I have desired to love you. I have desired to love you. I love who you are. I love who you aren't. I love your failures. I love your successes. I love the process of bringing you into the image of my son. I love my plans for you. I have desired to love you. And I have desired to love you wholly, body, soul, and spirit. He doesn't care if you've got a big nose or a little one. Here's the question. Can I love you? Will you allow me to love you? Will you allow my love to break all fear? Will you allow my love to break all shame? Will you allow my love to break off discouragement and hopelessness? Will you allow my hand of love to be so securely underneath you, my arms to be so thoroughly wrapped around you? Will you allow me to love you? Will you allow me to reveal a love like you've never known? Will you allow me to encounter you in the deepest part of your being? Daddy, we allow you. Jesus, we allow you to romance us, to love us. Holy Spirit, we allow you to nurture us, to teach us, to comfort us. Father, we say that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we want to love you fearfully and wonderfully in the way that you've made us. I just give freedom. I give liberty to every man, woman, and child in this house to love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, to come into the privilege of that relationship. God, that it'll settle upon us in such a way, God, that we just can't help but for that love to be infectious around us. That of all the gifts, all the things that we seek after, properly and rightfully so, that the greatest of these is love. Let it become a reality. Let it settle in. Teach us to walk in the reality of love. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Thank you, Lord. I want to encourage you, if you have a need in your body physically, an emotional need, we've got some teams that are going to come up and pray. I believe this is an hour, this is a time, this is a season where God wants to demonstrate His love, and He wants to demonstrate His power. And we're just continuing to go there. So if you have a need in your physical body, come on up, and we'll pray for you. There's coffee out in the lobby area there. Just love on somebody. Just love on somebody. Release the love of God that you carry onto somebody else. Just release it. Bless you. Have a wonderful week. Love on somebody at work. Just leak the love of God.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.